Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh, is daf Ayin Aleph, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah. And we learned earlier, remember, that there are places that you are allowed to actually be kotzer before the Ktziras HaOmer. And those were places where the tvua itself wasn't roly, because it wasn't good enough to be used for the Omer itself. We're going to see where we learn that out of the Pasuk. But we finally get to the Mishnah that actually discusses those issues. So, Kotzrim Beit HaShlachim Sheba'amakim, in the valleys where we've got a lot of heat in Eretz Yisrael, and that the only way that we can grow things there is by irrigation. Now, that inevitably, they're not going to grow as well as they grow in an area that has good rainfall and so on. There's always periods of dry between the irrigation, and because of that, it's not the highest quality of the grain that we're looking for, and therefore, you can do the Ketzira there because you wouldn't be able to bring the Omer from that through it anyway. Avalogochim, as we learned before. Hello? Is there a problem here? Somebody's not. Shmuel Hanina. Please mute. I'm going to try to do that from here. Okay. However, we still have our gezeira that you'll recall from earlier. And that gezeira is that we don't want people being oisek in this new tfua because they might pop some of it into their mouth. So that, it would be a serious, it would be over on achilas chadash. Because of that, they were gozer, don't do work with it. So even to stack it up, we don't want you to do that until the Omer is actually brought. But in terms of just being kotzer at the time of the ktsira, we're not worried that you're going to be actually putting it in your mouth, and it's not the highest quality anyway. Now, Anshe Yericho, there were kotzerim b'tzon chachami. They did the ktsira because they lived, of course, in the valley, Yericho, and everything that they grew was grown with irrigation. But, so the Chachamim said, it's okay for them to do the Ketzira, but Gochin Shelo Birtzon Chachamim. They would nonetheless do, even though the Rabbanit said don't do it, the Rabbanit didn't prevent them from being Godesh, but they were against it. Lo Michu B'yadam. So they didn't do anything to stop them and to tell them this is against the law. We're going to see more about this in the Gemara. Kotzer L'Shachat U'Machila B'Yimah. Furthermore, even if you're talking about regular grain of higher quality, if the harvesting that you're doing is not of grain that's usable, so you're doing an unusual type of ketzira. You go and you want to cut it down at an early stage in order to feed it to an animal. That's not called a ketzira. That wasn't the ketzira that the Torah assert. So it does not have any relationship to the reishit ketzira, because this is not part of a normal ketzira. And it's therefore basically the same idea, except that here it's because of the chisorin in the ketzira, not because of the chisorin in the grain. Omer Rav Yehuda, but when do we say that you could cut it down early? That's b'zman shem matchil ad shelo hevi'i shlish. You have to have started doing that ketzira for the animal before the grain was one-third grown. Once it's one-third grown, then it appears to be the beginning of the harvesting that you're going to be doing on the whole field. But if you started at that point, then it's clear that you were not doing this as part of the ketzira of your sadeh, and therefore you can go ahead and finish getting what you need for your animals. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yiktzav Yachil Af Meshev Yishlish, there's no problem, even if it already is a third grown, if it's being done for an animal and it's not ripe, it's not the beginning of your harvest, and therefore it doesn't violate the Reshit Kitzirchem, even if it's after a Shlish. We'll see the Machlokas details in the Gemara. Other times that you're allowed to do Kitzira and it's not a problem is in the event that you're kotzrim mipnei hanitiot. So what happened over here is that you had sapling trees that were growing, and they became overwhelmed with grain that grew between the saplings. This is very bad for the saplings. And because of that, since the purpose of this ketzira anyway is actually not for any the real katsira. It's in order to prevent a damage to the trees. So they didn't want to aser it in this case, and because it would actually be gerem hefset, so the rabbanan didn't aser. Other places where they didn't aser is, again, where it's not the derech of the katsira, and where the purpose of the katsira is for a purpose of a mitzvah. So some learn, by the way, that katsira in b'nei netiyos is also the tzarech mitzvah, because it's talking about a situation where it would have been kilayim if it was left to grow. The other two cases that are tzarech mitzvah are mipnei beit ha'avel. So remember that in those days they used to have the avelim sitting outside so that there was room for the whole community to come and to bring them food. There was not room like that inside of small homes. So in order to allow there to be place for putting a space for all of the people that were coming for the Nichum Avelim, and they would all participate in the Sada, and they would make the special bracha, the Birkas Avelim, in the middle of the Birkat HaMazon, which we're not knowing so much anymore. And also, maybe to Beit HaMidrash, where the Talmidim would sit outside to learn, there was no room inside. That is considered to be Tzarech Mitzvah. Rabbanon didn't aser doing something that wasn't actually aser Midiraisa. Now, those cases where the Rabbanon were matir just doing katsira of the grain that is not going to be used anyway, do not, however, do anything that might cause you to unthinkingly put a piece of the new grain in your mouth. So lo yaseh otan krichot, don't tie it up into bundles, leave them in piles in the field, then after that, gravas ha'omer, you'll do everything else that needs to be done. The mitzvah of the Omer is lavo min hakama. So you're supposed to actually cut it directly from the field while it's standing, like it says, me'achel charmesh bakama, when you first take that sickle and you apply it to the standing stalks in your field. That's the beginning of the crop. But suppose we didn't find any kama to bring the Omer from, and people had all cut what had been the kama. Fine. It's not that it's not kosher for the Omer. You were mafsid that mitzvah. So yavi min ha'omari. So then just bring what was cut. And mitzvah tolav min alach. As we learned from Carmel, it's supposed to be completely fresh, moist, like a pillow that's filled and soft and squishy. But lo matzah, suppose you only found dry, then you bring dry. These things are l'mitzvah, but they're not ma'akev. Also, the mitzvah, as we saw, is l'ksar b'layla, to have it ready to bring it right away in the morning. And you do, as we were medayik in the pasuk, the actual ktsira you do at night, and then the hava you do in the morning. But if you couldn't do it at night, and it was niktzar b'yom, it's also kosher. And the Omer is doyechas ha-shabbos, even though in the Mishnah, the Pashtus reads as if we're talking about the Ketzirah. We're going to see more of this in the Gemara, that we need a raya that the Havas Omer is doyechas ha-shabbos. Tanya. So what is the mocker of this idea of being able to bring grain that wasn't usable for the Omer to do the Ketzirah on such grain before the Ketzirah is ha-omer? So Tanya, Rabbi Binyamin Omer. We have one pasuk that seems to contradict itself. So here's the introduction. So the daber b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem ki tavo el ha'aretz asher ani noten lachem uktzartem et ktsira. So it's mashma, come into Eretz Yisrael, and you do the ktsira. Does the same thing about needing to bring an omer before you do the ktsira, does it? And then it goes on to say, Vahvetem et omer reshit kitzirchem el hakohen. So, I mean, which way is it? On the one hand, it's saying, go right into Eretz Yisrael, no problems, do the kitzira. But, ksiv, it furthermore writes in the same pasuk, reshit kitzirchem el hakohen. So, how to explain the contradiction? Okay, so, must be that there are two different dinim. If you're able to bring it from that place, then that has to be the reshit ktsirchem. So mimakom sh'ata mevi I ata kotzer. There you wouldn't be allowed to do a ktsira before, because this has to be your first ktsira. But if you're in the type of place where the grain is not roiv for bring to the Beis HaMikdash, then mimokob she'iyata mevin, if you're not going to be able to bring the omer, so then, v'yamarta v'yam ki tavo el ha'aretz, ak uksartem ketzira, and then you could be kotzer. That's the basis for the difference in the Mishnah in the places that we allow you to be kotzer, such as the amakim, the shlachim, and the amakim, where it's all irrigated. That's why it said in the Mishnah. But how do you know that that's how to read it? Maybe the way to read it is that mimin shata mevi iata kotzer. Mimin shi iata mevi ata kotzer. So if this is the type of grain, namely, it's the barley grain, and that's what you're going to be bringing the omer from, then you mustn't do the ketzira of the barley. But if it's a type of species that anyway you're not going to be able to bring the omer from it, so then it's not part of the story of the omer. And if it's a species, a minshi yata maybe, then you could be kotzer. So let's say you want to, instead of being kotzer, this, the first, which usually is the first thing that you've got, is the oats, or the, instead you want to, instead of the saur and the barley, you want to bring oats, let's say. That you could do. You could harvest that, because you're not going to be bringing the omer from oats, you're not going to be bringing it from rye, so there should be no problem. Maybe that's what it means, but it doesn't define which barley is kosher, is also to be kosher. It defines which species is also to be kosher. Those things that are not part of the Isser Chadash, you could be kosher. No, that you can't say. Because since we know from Rabbi Yochanan that we have the Gezeirah Shavah between the din of Chadash and Challah, that means that this is really a reference to all grains. And we said that that ratius of the Gezeirah Shavah tells us that was whatever was included, therefore, in which ultimately was learned from Matzah and from Pesach, is included wherever it says the Reshit Ketzircha. Now, the Mishnah said that in Yericho, they would do the Ketzira and the Chachomim were maskim, but then they actually would stack up the grain and that the Chachomim were not maskim to. Now, this question, however, that the Mishnah ends with, Lo michu behem chachomim. The chachomim did not go out and do anything about the fact that they did it. They didn't reprove them for doing it. Who is the Man D'Omar that makes a fuss over this din of michu? Because we know there's only one person that talks about michu. Man shamat le D'Omar michu or lo michu. That Man D'Omar is Rabbi Yehuda. And we're going to show in a moment that in the Braita about the different things that they did in Yericho, Rabbi Yehuda was the one who spoke about the history of the relationship of the Chachamim to the Anshe Yericho, who would do things that were l'chatchila, shouldn't have been done. That's Rabbi Yehuda. So probably the Mishnah uses that language of Lo Michu Biyodo, that was a famous Braita of Rabbi Yehuda Shita that we're about to discuss. Problem is that in that very Braita, it seems that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of the din in the Mishnah. V'sava Rabbi Yehuda Ketzira D'Anshe Yericho B'Ritzon Chachamim. You're telling me that the only problem was that in the Mishnah says, Dafka, in the fact that they were Magdish. So they put it into piles. But the Chachamim were willing to agree with them when it came to the actual Ketzira. But Rabbi Yehuda Dafka doesn't hold on that. Because take a look at the famous Braita of Rabbi Yehuda. Shisha, listen to this, HaTanya. Shisha Devarim, Osu Anshe Yericho. There were six things that they had an idiosyncratic approach to the halakha. And they paskin that you could do things in this way. And three of them, the Chachamim agreed to. Were B'Ritzon Chachamim. But three of them, were Shelo B'Ritzon Chachamim. And here are the three that was B'Ritzon Chachamim. Now, in these three, we're going to see, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And Dafka Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Chachamim did not go along with it. So, Elu Shebritzon Chachamim, these are the three that the Chachamim agreed to. First of all, they would be markivim dekolim kol hayom. This is a reference to the din that after chatzos on Erev Pesach is usher to do milacha. But what they used to do, it the pashas, as it says, that they would actually do harkova, which was grafting. Gemara in Pesachim comes out that it wasn't literal grafting. It was a special way that they would enhance the growth of their palm trees. They were famous for their palm trees. And they used to make injectable things that they took from other trees, nutrients, and they would put them into the palm tree. They called that a type of harkava, by forcing them into the palm. But anyway, that's not our sugya, but that was one thing. They would be korchinichma, so they didn't, there was a lot of different pirushim over there, what exactly is meant by korchim. Let's take a simple pshat that they didn't actually stop between the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael and the V'ahavta. And then they would do the kotrim lifnei ha'omer. So this is the one thing that we're really looking for. All of that was Britzon Chachamim, but we're going to see that this is dafka like Rabbi Meir. And Elu Shelo, Britzon Chachamim, what were the three things that they did that Chachamim were against? They would be Godesh. So all of this is like our Mishnah. They would stack it up before the Omer, and that the Chachamim didn't agree to. They were Matirin Gamziot Shel Hegdesh of Charuv and Shikma. Now you'll recall that Carob and Sycamore are very, very thick trees. In those days, they used these for harvesting lumber. They didn't cut the trees down. They would actually make the trees grow thicker and thicker to produce lumber, and they would cut down the new lumber while leaving the thickening trunk of the bottom of the tree to produce new lumber every year. So they held that even though they had the carob trees and the sycamore trees that had been given over to Hegdash, that the Gidulim were not given to Hegdash. Gidule Hegdash were mutter, and that the original matana to Hegdash was only the actual bottom part of the tree and not the growth that the tree was actually being harvested for. So because of that, they would allow people to use it, and they held it. Well, it didn't belong to Hegdash. You didn't have to pay for it to Hegdash, and there was no me'ila on it. And the other thing that they did that Chachamim did not approve of is that they left open the gates of the garden or of their fields, and they would actually break down the fences to allow poor people to come in if there was a famine and it was difficult for people to find food. And they would let them come into their gardens for Shabbos and on Yontev so that the poor would have the ability to pick up anything that had fallen to the ground and to take it and to use it for food. The Chachamim were against that because they were afraid that people would end up actually climbing the trees and picking because they were hungry. And because of that, the Chachamim did not approve of that. Now, all of this is according to Rabbi Meir, which would mean that what it said in our Mishnah about allowing the Ketzira was Rabbi Meir, and when it said that the Chachamim did not agree with what they did when it came to stacking it up was Rabbi Meir. Now here is Rabbi Yehuda. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, im birtzon Chachamim emesim, I don't understand what you're saying. You claim that in the first three cases that the Chachamim agreed with Anshe Yericho? So then it's no longer Anshe Yericho. Everybody should do that. You're telling us that that's the Psak Halacha. So why the heck is it only Anshe Yericho? So it's obviously idiosyncratic, right? So you call it Amosinkin. How come we just don't Paskin Halacha that you're allowed to do this? Why only talk about people in Yericho? The point is clearly that Ela Elu Ve'elu Shalobritzon Chachamim. The first three and the last three were all against the Chachamim, and that's why it was only in Yericho that they did that, that they had their local Shita, and they followed their people, but we don't paskin that way. And it was Shalobritz on the Chachamim. The difference between the first three and the second three, and now here's where we see that Rebbe Yehuda is focused on whether the Chachamim were Michu B'Yadam. The way to read the correct story of this braita is that for the first three, al shlosha michu biyadam, the last three, they were michu biyadam, and they took steps to prevent it from being done, and they actually reproached them for it. But al shlosha lo michu biyadam. But on the other three, they didn't agree, but they let them get away with murder. Ve'elu shelo michu biyadam. So what did they not actually say anything about to reproach them? That was the Markivim de Kolin Kolayon, Kochim et Shema, the Kotzrim v'Kotchin Lifnei HaOmer. So then that means, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Dafka, the Mishnah is not going to work out. Because Rabbi Yehuda learns that they were not Michu on the Gedisha or on the Ktsira, but they didn't approve of either of them. So we do see here that it's Rabbi Yehuda who uses the concept of Michu, v'lo Michu bi'adam, but you can't tell me that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, because the Mishnah says that it was Britzon Chachamim, and Rabbi Yehuda says it was Shalom Britzon Chachamim. So how is this possible? And which were the ones that they said that you got to stop doing this, and they actually did reprove them? That was the Batirin Gamziot Shel Hegdesh, Shel Charuva Shel Shikma. That was the business about utilizing, without payment, the groats that came from the lumber trees. Uportzim Pratzot Bigagoteyem Ubepardoteyem. And they would actually open up their gardens and their orchards when it came to Shabbos and Yontev. Gedei La'achil Neshar La'aniyim. So that fruit that fell would be taken by aniyim during famine times. B'Shabbatot u'b'yomim tovim. Now here's something strange, because we add another case. V'notnim pe'ala yerek. Well, we got to say something, because he already included both the Gedisha and the Ketzira. So we're missing a case now, right? Because you're saying there's three. So now we throw in another case. We didn't hear this case before. They would give pe'ah from vegetables. Now, we know that you're not chayav to give pe'ah from vegetables, because as we're medayik from the pasuk, only things that are nishmar, only things that can be stored for a long period, are chayav in pe'ah. And vegetables, they wither. So what do you care if they give tzedakah tanim? What's so bad if they give pe'ah? They were big tzaddikim here. No. Because the people that take the peah, they don't realize that it doesn't have a din of peah. Since it doesn't have a din of peah, it's chayev and trumas and maisras. And they're going to be eating it without taking trumas and maisras, because they think this is real peah. But it wasn't peah. So for that, the chachamim were michu biyadam. Anyway, so we see over here, you're right, it's Rabbi Yehuda who focuses on michu, but the Mishnah doesn't work out according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says the Chachamim were against the Ketzira, and the Mishnah says the Chachamim went along with the Ketzira. Answers the Gemara, excuse me, you're quoting a Braita. That doesn't make any sense, okay? So the first thing you got to figure out is what went wrong with this Braita. Then you could start talking about whether it's Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Meir. So according to you, how do you explain this Braita? The Braita is contradictory. Latamar. It says six things, and then it talks about seven things, because it throws in the peah at the end. So something's messed up with this braita, don't you think? Ella, so there's a simple way out. The word ketzira doesn't belong here. The six cases are the gedisha and the taking peah. But Rabbi Yehuda never said anything about the ketzira, and indeed there he would go along that there's no Ketzira issue at all, and that was mutter. In which case, there's no contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braita. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, he never said anything about the problem of the harvesting. That was not an idiosyncratic issue. And indeed, in our Mishnah, it's not brought as an idiosyncratic issue, except as part of the story of what they did. But it says beferish at the beginning of the Mishnah, that you can go right ahead and you can do the Ketzira L'chatchila in the Beit HaShlachim. Okay, so now we can actually learn the way we said before that the Mishnah is going. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Next case we had is that you could be Kotzer L'Shachas Umachilabema. You can take as long as you have doing this for your animal, it's not considered to be an actual act of harvesting. And then it's not a pagam when it comes to the idea of reishis ketzirchem. This is all part of the multi-leveled architecture of the Gemara, because we're about to bring a raya. This is the strangest thing. Through a complete coincidence, we're going to bring a raya about whether it's considered to be ketzir at different stages from the dinim of peah, which is just a coincidence that we happened to be discussing before the peah of the vegetables. Now we'll switch to Masechet Peah and see whether we could bring a raya from a Mishnah in Masechet Peah to the din of Ketzira. Okay, so what's the Mishnah we're talking about? So in the second parak of Peah, it says like this, it's not awesome. The Elu Mavsikim LePeah. Here are things that will split a field into separate parts, and you'll have to take a separate Peah for each one of those fields. So let's say if you have a nachal running through the middle of your field, or you have a shlulis machlokis, whether nachal over here means, just like the machlokis by nachal eitan, is it talking about a actual water stream, or is it just talking about a ravine? So a nachal, a shlulit, which is a rainwater flow, which stays there for a long time as a pond, or if you have a derech hayachid, or a derech harabim, a derech hayachid is Arba Amos, Derech HaRabim is the 16 Amos. If you have a Shvil of the Rabim, or Shvil HaYachid, which is very thin, but it runs both Bimot HaChama or Bimot HaGeshamim, which normally we don't transverse fields in the middle of Bimot HaGeshamim. So if this is the type of path, even if it's thin, which goes through the field all year round and people are always crossing through the field, that's also considered to be a hefsek. And if you have a boor area, which is a field that was not even plowed, or you have a plowed field, but it wasn't planted, or you have an area with a different type of crop in between two areas of the same crop, zera acher, or if you harvested something in the middle, so you did a strip of ktsira l'shachas, this is interesting. So you did ktsira, like in our Mishnah, for the shachas, so it was going to be taken before it was really ready in order to be fed to animals. So then that divides the entire area into separate sections. So you'll have to take separate peah from each one. Divrei Rebbe Meir. Now, what the heck is the relationship of hefsek for peah to reishis ketzirchem? I'll tell you what the relationship is. If ketzira l'shachas is simply the beginning of the overall ktsira of the field, how in the world would it split the field into two parts? We just look at it as an early beginning to the ktsira, but it's essentially all part of the same field that you're going to be kotzer. If you tell me that ktsira l'shachas is a hefsek, so then you're telling me there's no way to view it as the beginning of the ktsira of the field as a whole, and you're treating it as a completely different field, which means that the areas on either side are of different fields, because you've got a third field that you did the ktsira l'shachas in the middle. That's how it has a direct relationship to our sugya. So it's clear that Rebbe Meir holds that ktsira l'shachas is not considered to be a normal ketzira, and it therefore is viewed not as the beginning of the ketzira of this one field, but rather as a different field that now is going to bisect the original field into two different parts. However, the Chachamim disagree, and they say the only time that a ketzira, l'shachas, is going to be viewed as actually bisecting the field is eno mafsik ela in kin harash. So doing something like that, if you, after you do the ketzira, you do a new harisha, Oh, man, so then you're plowing this field, you're finished with this field for the year, it's not part of the katsira of the whole field, and therefore it clearly is a third type of thing that came in between the other two sides, it bisected it, that we agree. But masha'in kein, if you start doing a katsira early on, l'shachas, that's not called a different katsira, that's a katsira of this year's field, and it's just an early beginning. So we have Gufa Amachlokas here between the Chachomim and Rabbi Meir. So now, what's the connection to our Mishnah? So Rabbi Yochanan spells it out. Omar Rabba Bar Barchana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, you know, this din of Rabbi Meir has got to be going like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says in our Mishnah, Yiktsar V'yachil Af Mishevi Yashlish. Remember that Rabbi Shimon said that you can do the Katsira L'Shachas when it comes to the Omer before the Omer, and not like the Tana, the Mishnah, who says that it's got to be only before it's Mevishlish, but it makes no difference, because according to him, Alma, Kasavar Kol L'Shachat Lav Katsirai. If you're cutting figs down early, it doesn't matter how early. If you're cutting it down and you're going to feed an animal with it, that is not considered to be the pegam in reishit katsirchem. So he goes against both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, because they hold that it has to be pachos mishlish. And Rabbi Shimon holds, no, it could be even if it's yoser mishlish. So it turns out that if Rabbi Meir says that it makes no difference over here at all, must be that he agrees gufa with Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not a actual type of beginning. And therefore, if it's not a beginning of a harvest, so then what's he doing? He's doing something on a different field. And because of that, it is mafsik. And that's why in the first Mishnah and the second parak, it explains to us Rabbi Shimon Shita, because these things will bisect. They're not part of the normal asiya. So because of that, must be that Rabbi Meir agrees with Rabbi Shimon. Anyway, so Rava was saying this over, what Rabbi Yochanan had just been quoted by Rabbi Bar Barchana as saying, that Rabbi Meir is based on Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah here in the Nochas, and Rav Acha Bar Huna asked, Rava, how could that be? Take a look at this braisa. Acha l'chagav, how about if locusts attacked an area of a field, and they ate out the middle of a field. So now you have two areas on either side. Or you had an attack of army ants that had walked straight through the field, and they had essentially destroyed Kirsimua Nimalim. What they do is they eat through the stalks, so that all of the stalks in the middle were like just taken down by ants. Or there was a tornado that cut through the field and busted everything in a line straight through the middle of the field. In all of these cases, then even Rabbi Meir, Hakol Modim, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim both agree that it's not ipso facto a bisecting. It's only if he buys into it that it bisects. How does he buy into it? He goes ahead and he does a new Harisha. So he's showing that this field he's treating completely differently than the other field. So in that case, if he was harash, he's mafsik. If he was not harash, he's not mafsik. So let me explain to you why I think this is a problem. Tainas Rav Acha Bar Huna. This can't be the pshat, the way Rabbi Yochanan said in the Rabbi Meir. Because the only one that could be referring to when you say Hakol Modim, who's the Hakol Modim? It's Rabbi Meir. The Rabbi Meir had said before that he doesn't hold that you need to have harisha in order to be mafsik, right? So Hakol Modim Man, Rabbi Meir. But the problem is that in the Mishnah he said that even if you don't do Harisha, he said that beferish, if you go ahead and you are Ketzer L'Shachas, it is automatically going to bisect the original field into two separate fields. You're going to have to take off separate Peya. And here you're telling me that unless you do Harisha, it's not going to be Mafsik. So if you tell me that the Mishnah is talking about Dafka in a case where B'shaloi V'shlish, Okay, so then you don't have a contradiction, because you could be talking about over here the Braisa that says that dafka, if you do Harisha, is it considered to be a new field. But if you didn't do Harisha, it's not a problem. Why is it not a problem to be mafsik? Why is it not mafsik? Because what you did is viewed as the beginning of the katsira of the whole field, right? So you started early. That's not considered to be a hefsik. And so how could that be if the Mishnah says it is? Because it's talking about that it's a mevi shlish. So if it had already been mevi shlish, unless you did something to show that you're no longer viewing this field as being part of the other field, namely you did a harisha, then it's not going to be mafsik, because you started, you didn't start very early for shachas, you started after it was reasonably grown. And therefore we could reasonably view that as the beginning of the katsira of this field as a whole, and because of that, unless you did a subsequent harisha, even Rebbe Meir would agree. So there, Omar Rebbe Meir, lo shma haritza. Okay, so if that would be the case, then everything would make sense. But if you're going to tell me that the case that we had in the Mishnah is going like Rebbe Shimon, and if Rebbe, that's what you claimed. You claimed Rebbe Yochanan, you claimed Rebbe Meir in that Mishnah was going like Rebbe Shimon in the Mishnah in Menachos, right? Remember, we're talking about three sources over here. We have our Mishnah in Menachot, we have the Mishnah in the second parak of Peah, first Mishnah, Elu Mafsikim, with great fanfare, the sheet of Rebbe Meir, and now we have this Braita. So if you're going to tell me, you're trying to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case that is similar to Rebbe Shimon. You said, Rebbe Yochanan, you claimed that the reason that Rebbe Meir said his shita because he was going afilu in the shita of Rebbe Shimon. But the shita of Rebbe Shimon in Menachos is beferish, our Mishnah. Rebbe Shimon says, I don't care if it's post-shlish, right? So now, if Rebbe Meir holds of Rebbe Shimon, you can't differentiate between the case in the Braita of Peah and the case of the Mishnah in Peah by saying one is talking about shlish and if it's a shlish, so over there, unless you do harisha, it's not going to be considered to be a bisecting. And the other one is talking about that it's less than shlish. You just said that Rebbe Meir is not mechalik between shlish and non-shlish. You just said that Rebbe Meir is following the sheet of Rebbe Shimon in our Mishnah, in Menachos. And Rebbe Shimon in Menachos says beferish. I don't care if it's even more than shlish. So now, how could Rebbe Yochanan be right? If Rebbe Yochanan's understanding of Rebbe Meir that he holds of Rebbe Shimon in our Mishnah is correct, then we have an impossible contradiction in Rebbe Meir himself between the Mishnah in Peah and the Braita in Peah. So, because, look, I mean, it's a crazy contradiction, because think about it. In the case of the Elu Mafsikim, where you're talking about somebody was kotzer, it didn't matter what he was being kotzer for, it could be kotzer even for a human, he was doing an early katsira. And it should say the other, not the hasam. So Amar Rebbe Meir, even in such a case where it's similar to a normal katsira because he's not doing a dafka for an animal, Rebbe Meir didn't say anything about dafka for an animal, and nonetheless it's lo shma katsira. So in this crazy case in the Braita, where for God's sake, you're talking about ants, you're talking about bugs and locusts, and what in the world? That doesn't have anything to do with a katsira. So you're going to tell me that in such a case, lo kol shekein, I mean, it's clearly not going to be the beginning of a new katsira because, oh, the locusts have come. They're not real locusts. They're actually AI nano machines that are cutting down the grain. No. So therefore, it's clear that he would never have been made of that. You need to do harisha here. So lo kol shekein, that it's not considered to be a harvest. What kind of harvest is that? So therefore, Rebbe Meir can't be going like Rebbe Shimon because he's going to end up with this contradiction. You've got to say that Rebbe Yochanan is wrong and that Rebbe Meir argues on Rebbe Shimon in our Mishnah. He would not say it doesn't matter if it's more than shlish or less than shlish. That's the whole point in Rebbe Meir. And that if it was more than shlish, then Rebbe Meir would never have said Elu Mafsikim Lepeah without doing a subsequent harisha. Isn't that nice logic? It's fun to see how it all, like, complicates, you know? You feel this, you have to hold this, it's really beautiful. Okay, so now we're going to have to find another approach in Rabbi Meir vis-a-vis our Mishnah in the Nachas. So let's see if we can figure something out. Who would Rabbi Meir hold like in our Mishnah? So it could be Rabbi Meir is going with the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, because he said as following, quote, Amasai, when do we say this halacha that you're allowed to do a ketzira if it's early and you're doing it l'shachas for feeding an animal? That's only bizman sheitchil ad sheloi vishlish. It's only if you started doing it before the tvua had reached shlish. Avol imitchil ad shevi shlish, then it's already bakama, and it violates the miachel chamesh bakama. Right? That's what he said in the Mishnah. So if it's pochas bishlish, then it's not considered to be a real ketzira. It doesn't violate the reishis ketzirchem. And that is basically what Rabbi Meir is saying over here in both the Mishnah and the Braita and in Peah. And he's making that same clear differentiation between shlish and pochas bishlish. If it was pochas bishlish, it's not going to be viewed as the beginning of a ketzira. If it's more than shlish, unless you do harisha afterwards, that ketzira will be viewed as the beginning of the ketzira. Okay, are we clear on this? It's like a lot of different things, one leading to the other. Very exciting. The problem is, says the Gemara, that you are reading into Rabbi Yehuda something that it doesn't work, because Rabbi Meir can't be going on Libet Rabbi Yehuda. Because all that we see in Rabbi Yehuda, Eimad Shamat Leila Rabbi Yehuda. Note, Rabbi Yehuda said, if your coats are lebehema, right? He didn't say that if you do a ketzira at any point that's pachas bishlish. But Rabbi Meir didn't say anything about coats are lebehema. Rabbi Meir was simply talking about pachas bishlish. That's not like Rabbi Yehuda, because Eimad Shamat Leila Rabbi Yehuda dafka lebehema. The Adam Mishamat Lay. So how do you see in any way that Rabbi Meir would agree with Rabbi Yehuda? He's not going like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, you can't actually make the two work. And you can't try to tell me that I'll make it work. Because if, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda actually meant that it would be true even for Adam, think about this, then you end up with a new daya in the Mishnah. Note, what was Rabbi Yehuda's lashon? Eimatai bizman, right? But remember that we have a klal. Whenever Rabbi Yehuda says eimatai, he's agreeing with the Tanakhama and he's just explaining the Tanakhama. When did the Tanakhama say this? Dafka in the case of pachas bishlish. So he's referring to the case of the Tanakhama. In the case of the Tanakhama, it said beferish shachas lebehema, umachil lebehema. It said that beferish. If you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda also agrees with Rabbi Meir, and that it doesn't really matter whether you're going to feed it to your animal or you're doing it for an adam, then we end up with another shita in the Mishnah. But Rabbi Yehuda can't be another shita because he said ematai. We would end up with a third shita, which holds, well, it's not really limited to animals. It could be even to Adam. Who said that? Who said that? Nobody said that. Because Rabbi Yehuda was only coming to explain the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama said, Beferish umachil abemto. So therefore, you cannot make it work out, Alibet Rabbi Yehuda, the Imkain. If you would claim that Rabbi Yehuda meant that even La Adam, so then you're introducing a new Tana. So Havilu, Talata Tanoi. Now you're going to have three Tanoim in the Mishnah. Because we have the Tanakhama was saying it's only La Adam. Rabbi Yehuda was saying that it's only La Behema. Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's even La Adam. And Rabbi Shimon was saying even if it's more than Shlish. But there aren't three Shitas. So he was going along with the Tanakhama. And he said Ematai. So then that means Rabbi Meir does not agree with Rabbi Yehuda. So let's get this straight. Rabbi Meir is not going like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir is not going like Rabbi Yehuda. So what exactly did Rabbi Meir hold in this issue? Because we are only aware of the two Tanaim in our Mishnah from Menachas. Yalak, Yata Rav Dini. When Rav Dini came from Eretz Yisrael, he says, you guys are barking up the wrong tree. This is not Rebbe Meir that is following the Shitas of Yerim Menachas. This is Rebbe Meir who's going Ali by his own Rebbe. And that was Rebbe Akiva. And Rebbe Akiva's Shita indeed is Beferish, that Afla Adam Nami Lo Havi Ketzira, that if you're talking about Tvua, that wasn't Mevia Shalish, it's not one-third of the Giddel, it doesn't matter, Afla Adam, it's not considered to be Ketzira. How do we know that that's the Shita of Rebbe Akiva? Because again, in Peya, where this is very important, it says Gufa in the Mishnah there, that Haminamer Sadeh, Vishierbo Kilachim Lachim, Rebbe Akiva Mer Peya Lekol Echad Ve'Echad. Now, this is a very Choshev Sugya. If we were learning Peya, we would have to go into how the Gemara is comparing the issue of Rebbe Meir to Rebbe Akiva, because Rebbe Akiva is introducing a different issue. Rebbe Akiva is talking about a case where the Sada has patches of more rapidly maturing grain and patches of areas where the grain is still very green and not able to be harvested yet, shouldn't be harvested yet. So therefore, what you have over here is a patchwork field. If you look at this from a drone's point of view, you would be seeing green areas mixed with straw-like areas throughout the field. And Rebbe Akiva says, if you've got those kind of patches, which is, of course, it would be a namer never loses its spots, so that's why we call it a minamer sadehu. So that would be each one of those patches. If you have areas that are immature in between and they're lachims, you've got the green areas. Rebbe Akiva says each patch is viewed as a separate field and you have to take a separate payah for every one of them. Whereas the Chachamim Aimrim, no, it's miyachad ala kol. The fact that it's some areas will be kotzur and some areas will not does not make this into a different field. Now, we're ignoring the patch issue, and we're focusing only on the fact that the areas that were not green were harvested. So we're pretending, this is why this discussion with Rabbi Akiva triggers a tremendous amount of discussion on halacha, because Bepashtus, he's referring specifically to Minamer. And the Gemara here is using this as if it's just a straightforward extension of areas that were harvested versus areas that weren't harvested. And therefore, relates it directly back to the Rebbe Meir problem about whether an early harvest is viewed as dealing with a separate field or the same field. So therefore, it's saying that Rebbe Meir must be going Aliba Rebbe Akiva, because Rebbe Akiva is saying that each area separated by a harvested area, when you get to the green areas, you're going to have to leave a separate peah from each one of them. And you take it, peah lekol echad v'echad. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, it's still one field. Just because you've got areas that are bare because you've harvested them, that doesn't mean that the others are not all part of the field. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Lo Chiyev Rabbi Akiva Ela B'Minamer LeKilayot. Where did Rabbi Akiva say you need for to have it separately? That was talking about where you were harvesting the patches in order to make klayot, and those klayot are made from grain that is early, because they're the soft grain. So that's not considered to be a ketzira. But if you were being menamer laotzar, and you're just harvesting whatever's ready. So if you're harvesting whatever is ready, why would it be a hefsek? Rabbi Akiva would never say that that's considered to be separate fields. Now, the problem is that to be menamer for klayot is for humans, which means that Rabbi Akiva is saying that in pochas mishlish, if it was mikutsar over here for an adam, it's still not considered to be a beginning of a ketzira, which is exactly what Rebbe Meir said. And that would explain why Rebbe Meir is actually the same as Rebbe Akiva. Well, wait. It would explain it if what you said was true. Namely, that the only time, this was Rav Yonah ben Shmuel, the only time that Rabbi Akiva was talking about is he was talking about where it was being done for klayot, but that is not by any means the way that everybody understands it, because when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said that Rabbi Yochanan had taina that Rabbi Akiva was being mechayev even if it was menamer la'otza, which would mean that according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Meir was talking about normal harvesting. And you're going to be doing this as each thing becomes mature. You're going to be being harvesting that. And he is saying that nonetheless, it would be considered to be patchwork for payup. That's not what Rabbi Meir said. Rabbi Meir was talking about only where it was a non-standard katsira, similar to our case here in Menachas. Okay, fine. So even if that's true, he could still hold like Rabbi Akiva in terms of this din that for Adam, if it's Pachas Mishlish, that then it's considered to be not a normal katsira and it creates patchworks for Peya. But he disagrees with the part, which is even if it was La'otza. That's okay. So at least we know what the marker of Rabbi Meir's psak is, that it was going according to the Iker Svara of Rabbi Akiva. There might be a minor difference in terms of whether it would be true, even La'otzar. Woo! Lovely. This was a real excursion, can I tell you? Almost as
having a field day.
A real field day. Almost as nice of one of Gavi's excursions up the mountains of the Galil that now he's put into the background of his learning. Beautiful, beautiful. Ashrechem.